He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. You may turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 would be the focus text for this morning. The Mark's account of the resurrection is found here in Mark chapter 16. An interesting take on the resurrection story. It's a shorter version, I guess. But it was something in the story, as I read all of them in preparing for today, something in this story kind of grabbed me a little bit, which I'll share with you in a moment. But beginning in verse 1 of Mark 16, it says, "And now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you.' And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And now, when he, which is Jesus, rose early on that first day of the week, he, Jesus, appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons." And just for you to note, that account is in John 20:16 and also in Matthew 28:9, where Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene. And in verse 10 in Mark 16, it goes on that she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, in verse 12, it goes on, "After that, Jesus appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country." And this would be the road to Emmaus, and which is found in Luke 24. It ends there at 31 or so, when Jesus reveals who he is to the two fellows that walked on the road to Emmaus. And verse 13 here in Mark, it says, "And they went," those two fellows that walked the road to Emmaus with Jesus, which again, the accounts in Luke 24, when they came to the rest and they told it to all the rest of the disciples, what does it say here in Mark? It says, "But they did not believe them either." They didn't believe. In verse 14, it says, "Later he," Jesus, "appeared to the leaven as they sat at the table. And he," Jesus, "rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen." And again, referencing Luke 24, 36, and 48. And this is what Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And so, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. says Mark. So the lines that stood out to me this morning. And it's very interesting. I trust, again, that God was at work. Many of the same thoughts that Lyndon shared and did an excellent job. The sunrise service this morning, some of the same thoughts I have and some of the same things that Brother Leon shared this morning are some of the things that I have to share. I believe God is orchestrating and working. But one of the things that stood out for me, again, from this chapter of Mark 16, it's verse 14. It says, later he appeared to the leaven as they sat in the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. I always had pictured the resurrection as a really joyous time, and it was. And in other accounts, it is very joyous. And yet here, it's almost condemning maybe a little bit. I mean, I want to give the disciples a little more grace here, maybe. I mean, they didn't understand the whole plan yet. This was happening in real time for them. And yet Jesus still was kind of rebuking them. It almost, again, sounds a little harsh. I mean, the disciples were currently scared for their lives. They were kind of holed up. They didn't receive the helper of the Holy Spirit yet. And yet again, Jesus is calling out their unbelief. And this makes me wonder about you this morning. What would Jesus say to you if you were sitting there this morning? I mean, we have the whole story. Here it is. We have the beginning and we have the end. And if you don't believe this, what would Jesus say to you this morning? I mean, we all just stood and worshiped. And I quickly glanced around. I didn't see people sitting down. We all stood and we all sang his praises this morning. And so I thought it would be a good exercise for us to take a few silent minutes on Easter to ask Jesus what he thinks of us. What does Jesus think of you? For most of us here, this would be an encouraging exercise. And for some, it may be a challenge. What does Jesus think of you? And so let's ask him. Let's take a few minutes and ask, what does Jesus think of you? So let's close our eyes and ponder. Thank you for participating. Would any of you care to share a word that you heard? What does Jesus think of you? Anybody? the song, the power in the name of Jesus came to someone. Amen. Yeah, a reminder from the Sunday school lesson to look in the mirror. Mm-hmm.
I can't not forgive myself for my role. And I took the peace forgiven
me. Amen.
I should stop thinking about that.
Amen. We realize that we cannot forgive ourselves. It takes Christ to forgive us, and we have to believe in that. We have to accept that he does forgive us. Mm-hmm. And these are not scary thoughts of what does Jesus think of us. They're thoughts of hope. They're thoughts of encouragement. If you're not saved this morning, it's kind of a daunting task to think, what does Jesus think of me? But if you are, again, this is hopeful. It's encouraging. And I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to be encouraged and to receive that hope this morning. One of the things that I thought about as I again pondered how Jesus would look at me and how he may look at someone who has not received him, I felt like he would be calling them. And maybe there was someone here in those brief minute that felt called by God. I wanted to also reference this morning the book, The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, by Mark Cahill. He outlines an easy conversational way to invite someone to Christ. He does an excellent job with it. And it's been a while since I read it, so I'm going to paraphrase here. But an easy conversation, as I recall, to speak to somebody about their need for Christ, or that they need Jesus, and that's not something that most people would immediately connect with, and most would respond in a way that, well, I'm not a bad person, you know, I'm pretty good, actually. I don't go around sinning on a regular basis. And the reply is to bring them to the knowledge of the really holy, holy God. Because when we are confronted with the holiness of God and how pure and complete and spotless He, God, is, this is exactly when we are most exposed and vulnerable and open to being led to be closer to Him. And it's easy to share with them the fact that God is so holy that he cannot even allow the thought of sin to enter heaven. This is our holy God. For he says in his word that that actual sin is just thinking about doing sin. It's the same to God. And when we are confronted with that level of pure holiness, we are left lacking in every way. And if there's any call of God on that person's life, they would respond, well, who then can go to heaven? And if they don't answer you in such a way, you can continue on in the conversation and admit that you either cannot attain complete holiness that God requires, that you also are left apart from God. And here is when you get to tell them, but there was a man. And he was part God and he was part man, and his name was Jesus. And he came and he did live a perfect life on this earth. He was absolutely perfect. And yet he was killed. And I'm sorry, ladies, but the only perfect man who ever lived was killed before he was 34. And when Jesus died, he took on all of the world's sin. He became the perfect sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. He died once and for all. But the thing that we celebrate this morning is that he did not stay dead. To die for the sins of the world and to allow that to be the end would mean that sin actually won. Now, this man, Jesus, did not stay dead even though he died. And Jesus rose again. He beat death at its own game. He did. He lives today. And this is the hope that we have when we believe that Jesus died for our sins. When we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you and I, we are saved from eternal condemnation. God no longer looks at us through his spectacles of needing perfect holiness. He looks at us as sons and daughters. It is from this outpouring of our own gratitude to God for the way that he has provided for us through the sacrifice of his Son that he brings us and gives us the ability to have this conversation, as it were, with an unbeliever. It gives us the ability to care for you. This is what gives us the desire to share the good news, which is translated the gospel, with others. Not that we have to, but that we get to share what Jesus has done for us and the freedom that we have in Christ and the assurance of a perfect eternity with God forever in heaven. My friend, this is life changing. My friend, this is the hope of Easter. Do not let Easter pass you by again thinking that it's about chocolate and plastic eggs. The Easter story is what gives us the motivation to make it through the rest of the year. The story of Easter is what brings us the hope of eternal life. No matter where you're from, it truly is sad if you need to admit or if you have to admit that once you die, that's all you get. That's a sobering fact. If in this life, in this breath, is all you ever get, it's very sobering. I mean, I can say it's hopeless. And here we have the Easter story, the reason for hope. There's a few verses, and you can turn to them. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read a few sections out of 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, again, this is our hope. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you that the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, the writer says. Continuing on in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 20, it says, But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, which again the writer fallen asleep would refer to as dying, a natural death, no longer here on earth. That Christ has become the first fruits of those who have died. Verse 21, for since by man, which is Adam, came death, by man, which is Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming. Amen. And you can turn with me to Romans. In Romans 6, again, the hope that we have in Christ through his death and resurrection. Starting in verse 9 of chapter 6 in Romans says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And flip over to verse 20 in Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Beginning there, it says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have when the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become a slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is the reason that we hope. This is the reason that should cause us to share our joy, our hope, our peace with a world that has none. So that we would not be potentially rebuked by Christ for unbelief, but that we would be counted as sons and daughters. In verse 14 of Mark 16, I'll read it again here. It says, later he appeared to the leaven as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these are the most inspiring or the most scary verses you'll read. He calls to that to task those to believe, and to believe those who have seen. And the next few verses, he talks about strange things. In verse 17, he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Is 17 and 18, are those verses too far out there? Are they? Is that too much of a stretch? So I'll ask you, has anyone seen demons cast out? Yes? There are a few hands. Has anyone seen new tongues spoken? Yes, there are a few hands. Has anyone seen a snake bite or poison not be deadly? Yes? Okay. Good. You know what made me think of here? I think during COVID, praying for your food just took on a whole new light, right? Did we not pray differently when we weren't sure what we were eating? We did. We didn't know. Were we going to get sick? What was it going to do? That's what made me think of. Has anyone here seen the sick healed? Yes? Yeah? Yeah? I heard it happened in Florida on the work trip. Yeah? Cool stuff. Some of us have experienced these things. But for sure, all of these things were seen and recorded for us in the New Testament, in the early church. One of the things that struck me as really interesting is when I read this list, I immediately thought of Paul. Did not all these things happen to Paul? And I felt like it was a great confirmation for the new church in Jerusalem to hear of Paul and to hear of his travels and to hear of his happenings and his trials and to recognize that, yes, Paul must be of God because of these things that Jesus said would come. And so again, if you have doubts this morning, it's okay. If you saw someone raise their hand and you need to know more about that, please go free and feel free and talk to them. For God's glory, absolutely. To be encouraged. This is our hope. Easter, Jesus' glorious resurrection. The grave could not hold him. This is Easter. But also on this Easter, I want you to know that not choosing to believe is also a choice. Not choosing to believe is a choice as well. And Jesus calls us, he says, do not harden your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will. And God will take off his examining glasses of complete holiness and he will look at you as sons and daughters, redeemed not on our own strength, but by the blood of his Son and belief that he rose from the dead, knowing that Christ has conquered death for us. It is both exhilarating and sobering at the same time. We are met with our own faults. We are confronted with our own weaknesses. We recognize our own inabilities. And yet, based on belief, just to believe that Christ died for me and rose from the dead, I am washed clean. That's amazing. It's so simple. It confounds the wise. And yet I testify that it works. It does work. It is that simple. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray for your word as it settles into our hearts, that it would again take root. And God, maybe this is just the first tiny little root, or maybe even just a little tiny mustard seed, God. I pray that it would not be wasted. God, we understand that on average it takes folks to hear about you and to be called by you approximately 7 times before someone responds. And may this be one of the times, God. May this be a time when those who are not believing recognize your voice. Maybe they heard from you this morning in our time of silence that you were calling. God, I pray that it's something that they could take to heart, that they would begin that journey on one that would lead them closer to you. God, for those who have joined your journey, who are on the road to everlasting life, I pray that this would be an encouragement time, one that we would encourage each other, and one that would give us strength to share the hope in which we have. God, we are so grateful that we have the freedom to meet here in America, that there is no fear of people crashing down our doors. God, I pray that you would keep us accountable for the freedom that we have. God, keep us accountable for the things that you've given us in our wallets. Keep us accountable for the gifts and talents that you've given us with our hands. That all that we do would glorify you and would bring others to you. God, pray that blessing on the rest of this day as we enjoy family, as we enjoy food, as we enjoy the beautiful weather outside. God, they are all gifts from you. Help us to be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Would the chorister please come and lead us in closing song.